station. The Qari Amir Sahib has benefited. Initially was being from the tribe Buri Rahimahullah Ta'ala, then benefited tremendously as the Khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Rahimahullah, from whose words we derive so much benefit up to today. All the various faradi and fadaili amal, fadaili sadaqat, virtue of salat al Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc. He's the compiler of one of those. He's also the noble and honorable student of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib. On qualifying at a young age, he was then sent by Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib to serve in a very great institution in Hardoi under the auspices of Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahimahullah, who was the Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah, and amazingly has remained committed to that very same institution, serving Quran and the other sciences of Dini knowledge for a period of more than 70 years. So let us inshallah listen attentively and derive the maximum benefit. Make the intention when sitting in the company of such pious people that Allah Ta'ala, by means of us sitting in the company, benefit from the piety, from the nur that Allah Ta'ala has put into their hearts, inshallah. After reciting the verse of the Quran Kareem, in which Allah Ta'ala says that if you try and encompass the favors of Allah Ta'ala, even one favor of Allah Ta'ala, you will not be able to do so comprehensively. And the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the crux of our deen is to have well wishes for one another and to continuously advise one another. Now we are fortunate to be sitting in a gathering of deen, wherein the talks of deen take place. This is indeed a most noble gathering. A most noble gathering in which we find ourselves. So very importantly, with what intention do we sit in such gatherings? When we sit in a bayan, in a gathering of deen, what is the intention with which we sit? An intention is of paramount importance. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah had gone through 500,000 hadith and then summarized what has been contained within those 500,000 hadith into five short hadith. And amongst those hadith, the most important is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that the basis of actions are intentions. The basis, the fundamentals, and the foundation of one's actions are based on the intention with which one does an action. So what is the niyyah, the intention with which we sit in such a gathering? First and foremost, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and essentially with the niyyah of Allah, that whatever shortcomings, whatever deficiencies there are within me, Allah, on account of listening to what is being said here, those weaknesses, those deficiencies in me can be eradicated. And we try and bring our character, we try and bring our life in its entirety in accordance with that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The loftiest and the most noble character is the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with the intention of eradicating those weaknesses and shortcomings, faults and deficiencies within us, so that our character comes in line with the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very important point as far as intention is concerned. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu would read Quran, the kuffar would become so anxious that let not our wife and children hear this Quran, for they knew full well that the effect of it would penetrate their heart and they would enter the fold of Islam without hesitation. They would therefore insist on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu to recite the Quran al-Kareem inaudibly, so that the effect does not transcend to the hearts of their wives and children. So today we also make tilawat of that very same Quran al-Kareem. Why is the effect not there on those around us? The difference is, the Quran is the same, the difference lies in the intention, the niyyah, the ikhlas and sincerity, and the heart, the yaqeen with which we make tilawat and recite the Quran al-Kareem. As far as intention is concerned, furthermore, we find that many a times a person may be engaged in an action that outwardly does not seem an act of piety, an act of worship. One may be eating, one may be drinking, one may be exercising, walking. By looking at it with the naked eye, one may not think and perceive this to be a form of ibadah. However, with the correct intention, one merely intends that, oh Allah, I'm eating, or I'm drinking, or I'm exercising, that I may gain bodily strength by which I can serve my deen, I can make khidmat of my parents, I may be able to worship you in a better manner. For indeed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, a strong believer is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a physically weak believer. So the difference is the intention. So even eating, drinking, exercising can become a form of ibadah, provided it is done with the correct intention. If we look historically, then Islam in various parts of the world has essentially spread in great number by two means. The two greatest forms of Islam spreading in different parts of the world were by two groups among the Muslim Ummah. One is the businessmen, traders, Muslim businessmen and traders who went to various parts of the world to do business, but on account of clean and honest dealings, of sincerity, of dealings in which they did not do the rights of others down, they respected the rights and dignity of others. The effect of the akhlaq and character within the business sphere affected the hearts of people and families, nations and nations entered the fold of Islam. The second group were the Sufiya, the awliya ikram, the pious people who had into their lives the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, outwardly as well as inwardly. That they had also, on account of the akhlaq and character, been a means of Islam spreading to many, many countries, to many, many nations. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a young Jewish boy who used to interact with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did him and his family a favor by carrying a huge utensil of water into their home. Now, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the bodily strength of 30 males put together in that time. So when the father of the Jewish boy came home and saw the huge utensil of water placed in the home, he said to his son that it is impossible that you have brought this. You tell me who has done us the service. He said, this very great man who is standing outside our home. And when he saw, he found that it was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the outer character and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sufficient that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him to enter the fold of Islam, and the entire household, the entire family entered into the fold of Islam. So there was a time when Muslims, merely by their outer appearance, were a magnet, would attract people to Islam. Unfortunately, because of our weaknesses, the outer face of Islam in these days, let alone attract towards Islam many a times, creates hatred in the heart of those who are around us. Let us take lesson from our wise predecessors in this regard.
तो काबिल जिंदा कैसे बनेंगे दीन के हर हिस्से पर कोशिश करते रहेंगे जैसे इम्तहान नाला का मुझे ये जरूरत होती है कि हर पर्चे में आला नंबर हासिल करें मसलन 5 पर्चे में 4 में तो आला नंबर हासिल कर लिया एक हिस्से बना दिया तो कहना है आला का ज्ञान कर लिया इसी तरीके से दीन के भी 5 हिस्से हर हिस्से पर सबसे अहम हिस्सा अकायद कहलाता है अकायद कहना मतलब रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने जो खबर दे दी है उसको दीन से मानो आपने खबर दिया दुनिया फानी है कितनी उम्र पार है जाना है जितने हजरा बैठे हुए 100 वर्ष पहले तो नहीं थे और 100 वर्ष बाद ही नहीं थे और फजलिया कार मंजूर है पर नमाज किताब है हमारा रूम के दोस्त साथ में है परमाते हैं चू सफर करते दादी दादी ज्यादा की तुम वो एक सफर करते शायद वो सफर से मुराद सफर है आपको दिया उसके लिए तो शामिल है और जैसे मुख्तलिफ उम्रों के लोग कोई 50 साल के हैं कोई 60 साल के 65 साल के कोई 70 साल के तो किसी से कहा जाए 50 साल दिखला दीजिए तो कोई नहीं दिखा पाएगा तो हर आकाशा ने फरमान है कि गुजरी हुई चीज पर नजर नहीं आ रही है बकिया मगर भी इसी चली आई थी उनको पता नहीं चलेगा लेकिन बकिया मगर तो फना तो सब कर रही गोया के हमारे ऊपर ख़त्म हो चुकी है कि अमल में सर गर्म हो जाओ और अमल तैयारी शुरू कर दो तो आखिरत में जो सफ़र होगा उसका स्टेशन क्या है कब्रिस्तान और किस गाड़ी से सफ़र होगा कब्र की गाड़ी से वो सफ़र आसान कैसे होगा इल्म दीन से तय कैसे होगा हमारे साझा तो हमारे साझा तो बहुत है लेकिन हम ये अल्लाह कहते हैं कि नमाज के बारे में उमूल इबादत सारी इबादतों की जड़ है माँ तो इसी हुजूर ने फरमाया गुरु सिया ने तुम भी सलाह की ज्यादा लोग सब जब 7 साल बच्चा हो जाए तो बाप को चाहिए ये नमाज से मानुस करते हैं महीने में 15 दिन हफ्ते में कितने में मानुस कर रहे हैं इसको अमानत नहीं समझते, रुपया पैसा तो अमानत है ही है, ये औलाद भी अमानत है, बीवी भी अमानत है, इसको नेक बनाने की कोशिश करना। और वजनी भूमि आप लोग अशन के 10 साल हो जाए तो पिटाई करें, तो कितने बाप बेटी रहे, स्कूल न जाए, दुकान पर घर के काम न करें, जाने पट करें, लेकिन नमाज न पढ़ने पर कितने लोग बाप मार जाए, तो इलाज भी आकर खोल देते हैं। ऐसी बेटी जब लड़की 60 वर्ष से हो जाए तो माँ को चाहिए कि रुजू का तरीका सिखाए, सर ढकने का तरीका सिखाए, नमाज का तरीका सिखाए, महीने में 15 हफ्ते साधन बनने, लड़की को नमाज साधन नहीं, लेकिन हुजूर रहमतुल्लाह ने थे 7 साल तक आवाजा शक्ति 10 बेटी हो जाए पिटाई कर, तो कितनी माँ पीट रही है अपनी बेटी को। तो पहले जमाने में सहाबा वक्त में ये औरतें मर्दों से पीछे नहीं होती, न इल्म में, न अमल में, न तकवा में, न तहारत में, और अल्लाह तआला की तरक्की के लिए न मर्द होना ज़रूरी है, न औरत होना ज़रूरी, जो भी ईमान के साथ अमाल के साथ न्याय करेगा वो तरक्की करता हुआ चलेगा। दुनिया की तरक्की तो एक उम्र है, रिटायर हो जाएंगे या फलाम लाजमत की इतनी तनख्वाह है, आगे नहीं बढ़ेगी, लेकिन दीन में तरक्की की कोई हद नहीं, सारी उम्र अमल करता रहेगा, क्योंकि दुनिया से जाएगा तो कोई किसी चीज हसरत नहीं करेगा, ये भी हसरत करेगा कि जो वक्त गफलत में गुजर गया एक दम सुभान अल्लाह पढ़ा हो उसके अजर को देखेगा तो कहेगा उसका फिर भेज दीजिए, लेकिन जाने के बाद वापसी नहीं है, ये सब ऐसा है किसी को। और ये दुनिया इम्तहान का मुख्तलिफ किस्म इम्तहान होता है, किसी इम्तहान रोजी की जरूरत है, कहने कितनी समझें हैं, कितनी डिग्रियाँ हैं, लेकिन नौकरी नहीं लग रही, किसी की इम्तहान सेहत के तरफ है, लाखों रुपये खर्च करिए सेहत रुपये नहीं देती, किसी के इम्तहान बीवी की तरफ रहती जो होती है, बीवी अच्छी मिल जाती है कि परेशान कर बुढ़ापा लाना से पहले बुढ़ापा ला देती है, और किसी के इम्तहान औलाद की तरफ होती है, औलाद ऐसी मिल जाती है कि परेशान करे छोड़, औलाद का आंखों ठंडक है, लेकिन आदमी जो अपने माँ बाप की नाफरमानी करता है, जब अपना बचपन भूल जाता है, बचपन से जहन में हो एक बनिया था पट्टा के इलाके में, बनिया करते हैं हिंदू जो तजारत करते हैं, तो अपने लड़के से पूछा कि दीवार को क्या है, तो उसने कहा कौआ, फिर बनिया ने पूछा, जब तो 3 दफ़ा कहा तो बता दे, 2 दफ़ा बता दिया, 3 दफ़ा कहा तुम्हारा दिमाग खराब हो गया, बार बार पूछे जा रहे, तो उस बनिया ने कहा कि तुम बच्चे थे तो 100 दफ़ा मुझसे सवाल किया, मैं 1 दफ़ा नहीं खा पाऊंगा और तुम 3 दफ़ा में खा पाओगे। तो माँ बाप की नाफरमानी जो करता है बचपन भूल जाता है, हर शख्स सोचे जिस वक्त पैदा हुए थे मक्खी को नहीं हटा सकते थे, लेकिन माँ ना उठाते थे, तो इसलिए हदीस आता है कि सुलूक करना हो माँ से माँ मुकदम। और इसी तरीके से एक वक्त में पीर साफ कर रहा है बाजार से खाना चीज लेके आया, बाप कह रहा कि एक लोटा पानी लाओ, तो किसके मानेंगे, वही कहते थे कि बाप को एक लोटा पानी लाएंगे तब पीर का अमल करेंगे, तो सबसे बड़ा हक अल्लाह रसूल के बाद वालदेन का है, माँ बाप का है, उसके बाद उस्ताद के, उसके बाद पीर के, इस जमाने में पीर के सबसे ज़्यादा हक समझते हैं, उसके बाद जब उस्ताद के, उसके बाद माँ बाप का समझते हैं, तीसरे नंबर।
Very important is that in life, whenever we go through any examination, we always wish to achieve the highest possible marks. If one gives an important examination in which there are 5 papers to write, one hopes to achieve distinctions in every one of those 5. If it so happens that one has achieved a distinction in 4, and in one of them one has got 0, then it will not be said that he has acquired good marks. So similarly, our deen has various important compartments, and all of these are very, very important, and we aspire to be as best as possible in all of the compartments of deen. The first and the most important compartment in deen, on which our entire deen is based, is aqaid, having the sincere and the correct beliefs. So we believe, and we believe with yaqeen and conviction. By way of example, we know that this dunya is going to come to an end, and ultimately each and every one of us are going to leave this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in and said to them that a century later from now, 100 years from now, none of us will be alive. Whoever is in this gathering, not one person will live to see out a full century. Farid ibn Attar, rahimahullah, one of the asatida of Sheikh Saadi rahimahullah say so beautifully, that this dunya is going towards its end, so try and see to it that you take the maximum benefit as far as actions are concerned. Get yourself involved in actions that will suffice and assist you in this great journey on which you have embarked. The journey is towards the Akhirah. You are on a continuous journey towards the Akhirah. See to it that you take enough provisions on this journey towards the Akhirah. The journey towards the Akhirah, he says that life that has already passed by, that which is in the past has passed by and it is gone. Life in which you have expectancy, which you have hopes for in the future, will go away very, very quickly. So do not concern yourself and console yourself that I still have a long lifespan, I can rectify my wrongs, I still have time to do as much good as possible. That time, as he said, time will fly. So take the maximum benefit of the present time that you find yourself in and try and do as much good as possible. The Akhirat is a journey towards which we are embarking. The train that takes us towards there is the Qabr, or the station is the Qabr. And the train that will take us towards the Akhirat is the Qabr in which we are going to rest. What will benefit us in reaching our destination is acquiring the knowledge of Deen. And the knowledge of Deen will only be beneficial if one follows that knowledge up with practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. So we find, by way of example of practical injunctions in our life, the most fundamental of all of those that would be at the head of the second compartment of Deen is Salah. Salah is the mother of all forms of worship. And if one perfects one's Salah, then all else in one's life will come right. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving us specific directions as far as Salah is concerned. That command your children and start teaching them to perform Salah in a perfect manner at the age of 7. And when they reach the age of 10, then you even are permitted to physically reprimand them on the neglect of Salah. Now today, let us ask ourselves, how many of us are implementing this teaching? That at the age of 7, we are teaching our children to perform Salah. On the neglect of Salah at the age of 10, how many of us would even think of physically reprimanding our children? Whereas this is the teaching of the most compassionate in the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, a mother, when a daughter reaches the age of 7, should teach her to cover herself, should teach her wudu, should teach her the manner of Salah. And she also has the right at the age of 10 of physically reprimanding the child, the daughter, on the neglect of Salah. Let us ask ourselves, how many of us do this, put to practice the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We will reprimand them very, very severely on matters pertaining to our businesses, household chores, etc., on the neglect of those. But how many of us take the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to heart as far as implementing the Islamic tarbiyah, the Islamic nurturing in regards to the most important action in our entire deen, and that is Salah. Similarly, as far as rights of other human beings are concerned, there are many people who have been accorded various rights by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This forms an important third component in our deen, fulfilling the rights of other people, dealing with people in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that the people who have been given the most rights as far as kind treatment is concerned are our parents. One's mother firstly, and thereafter one's father. Says that those who show disrespect to their parents, they have forgotten their own childhood. That these are the greatest benefactors to a person in one's life. That at a time when a child, when we were a baby, we could not even remove a fly that was sitting on our bodies. Our mothers, our fathers would assist us even in repelling a fly off our bodies. We grow up and forget the ihsan and the favor that they have conferred upon us. It says that on one occasion, a Hindu in some region in India had reached an old age. There was a crow sitting on a wall. He asked his son, "Oh my son, tell me what is that?" His son said that that is a crow. He asked him a second, a third time. He kept replying that that is a crow. On the fourth time, when he asked, "Oh my son, tell me what is that?" He says, "Oh my father, now I'm tired. You are putting me in great difficulty by persisting in asking this question." The father said to him, "Oh my son, on exactly the same wall when you were a child, you had asked me, what is this? And there was a crow sitting there, and I replied to you 100 times without hesitating. I've asked you 3 or 4 times and already you are tired of me." So the rights of one's parents are of great importance. Sometimes we think that we are more rightful to obey the commands and the teachings of our spiritual guide and our teachers, that is very important. But foremost in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as rights are concerned, are first and foremost our parents, thereafter those who have taught us our deen, and thereafter those who are our spiritual mentors and guides in our lives.
आप ऐसा आसान से दिखा लेकर आए तो उसे आसान से ग्रहण करना तक नहीं जा सकते। आप ऐसा कामी से दिखा लेकर आए तो उससे कामी के बिना क्या तक नहीं जा सकते। तो रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम घर में जाते थे रात के किसी दिन, तो ऐसे अंदाज से सलाम करते कि घर के लोग सो रहे हो, आप न खुल जाए। अब इतने हजरात बैठे हुए हैं, कितने लोग सुनने का वक्त नहीं कर रहे, तो आज से नियत करें। तो शेख अब्दुल हक मोहसिन देहली ने अपनी किताब में लिखा है कि जो मजार है दिल्ली के अंदर, अब वही हदीस साथ लाए थे हिंदुस्तान के अंदर, तो लिखा है कि सलाम करने से और भी फायदे, बहुत सारे फायदे लिखे हैं। एक फायदा ये है कि सलाम करने से इसमें तासीर है। हम हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने शायद आशा करने को फरमाया, ए आयशा, किसी नेकी को मामूली ना समझ, हर नेकी में तासीर है, मगफरत है, किस नेकी से मगफरत हो जाए, और किसी गुनाह को मामूली न सुना, हर गुनाह में तासीर है अल्लाह। तो हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम रात में जाते तो ऐसे अंदाज से सलाम करते, आप उनके घर के लोग सुन आप तक खुल जाए। हालांकि हुजूर भी अब आशक रात में खुल जाते तक ये लिखा है उम्मत को ताजा किया, आज हम सलामी खुले करें। तो सलाम के तीन फायदे इस वक्त मैं सलाम का खत्म करता हूँ। पहला फायदा क्या है कि मुझे लोगों से मोहब्बत कर रहा हूँ, दस सफर दिन में जाए या रात में जाए अस्सलामुअलैकुम याद तो है लेकिन भूल जाते हैं, या बीवी को सलाम करते शर्माते हैं। एक सुबह वो किसान है, एक शेर बुढ़ा मिलाकर तो मैं आपको यही समझता था और सलाम करा, नहीं मैं सरकारी वालों को सलाम कर रही तो घर में जाए तो अस्सलामुअलैकुम कहने से क्या होगा, बीवी बच्चों से मोहब्बत पैदा होती है, सलाम और तासीर है। और दूसरा फायदा क्या है, घर में बरकत आती है, बरकत मतलब यही कि हजार रुपये सलाम हो गया बल्कि थोड़े पैसे में काम हो जाए। बेबरकती आती है तो 5 में जो काम होता है 50 रुपये, 50 में जो काम होता है 100 रुपये, 100 में जो काम होता है 1000 रुपये, 1000 रुपये आमदनी महीने में कम पड़ गई, क्योंकि बरकत का जमाज हमारे घर में नहीं है। और सलाम सुन्नत है, सुन्नत का अमल करें तो आपका अपना जो स्वाद किया दुआ हो गया हम सब।
Apologize for taking much of your time, but we conclude with the following words, two very, very important advices with which Hazrat leaves us. The first and foremost, as in the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that never consider any pious deed, any good deed, an act of good as too insignificant or too small, thinking it will be of no benefit, because every act that is prescribed as an act of piety and sharia has the effect of it leading to a person's salvation. So never forsake an opportunity of doing good, thinking it to be too small or too minute or too insignificant. On the other hand, never ever think of a sin as too small, as trivial, or as a minor sin that it will be of no harm to us, because in essence every sin, every kind of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the effect of bringing with it a punishment. So never forsake an act of piety thinking it to be too small, and never indulge in a sin thinking it to be minor and too small and therefore will be of no harm to us. The final concluding advice is that we learn from the teachings, the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter the home, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make salam and would even take into cognizance those who may be resting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family were asleep when he entered the home. He would make salam in such a voice that if somebody was awake that they would hear it, and if anybody was asleep they would not be disturbed. There is obviously no question here of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, all these wajib mutahharat being disturbed, for them it would be the greatest joy and honor to be awakened by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us this great right of respecting the rights of others, even our family members, and therefore would make salam in a manner that would not disturb those who are sleeping, but those who are awake would hear it. Now here a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of making salam when entering the home. Let us ask ourselves, how many of us put this to practice? And whenever we enter the home, we develop the habit of making salam aloud to all the family members, and if they are asleep, then in a voice that would not disturb them. There are numerous benefits of making salam when entering the home. First and foremost, by its means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates unity and muhabbat, creates the love of one's wife and children in one's heart. So many a time we find broken homes, discord within the homes. Let us put to practice the sunnah, make salam. Allah ta'ala creates the love and compassion of our wives and children in our hearts. Many of us would think it demeaning or below our dignity and status to make salam to one's wife. However, this is not the case. Secondly, by making salam and entering the home, it brings about barakat and blessings in our home. Barakat does not mean that one's salary will increase. Barakat means that whatever means a person possesses, all one's needs will be fulfilled. And when barakat is taken out of the situation, then ordinarily, where 50 rand may have sufficed for certain needs and necessities, one would now require 100 rand. So barakat means that whatever means Allah Ta'ala bless us with would suffice for all our needs and necessities. The third benefit of making salam when entering the home, that this is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who bring alive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gain the muhabbat and the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ultimately attain salvation and protection from Allah Ta'ala's azab and punishment in the akhirah. So one great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by implementing it, numerous benefits will come into our lives, inshaAllah.
कितनी बड़ी नेमत है कि हम रात में मर चुके हैं इस हदीस में आता है अन्नो मोक्तुल मौत नींद जो है मौत की बहन है जैसे मौत की हालत में पाशा फकीर दोनों बराबर हो जाते हैं और पाशा अपने किले से बेखबर है फकीर अपने झोपड़े से बेखबर यही कहते हैं नींद क्या है तो सुन्नत तरीका क्या है कि सबसे पहले अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह 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 इतना बार बजना है इस सुन्नत मुताबिक हम उठते नहीं उठते नहीं उठते तो आज नियत करें कि आज सुबह उठेंगे तो बार बार नफ्स को अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह तीन बार पढ़ेंगे या तो है और दूसरी सुन्नत क्या है कि कलमे तैयबा पढ़ेंगे और तीसरी सुन्नत कि अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह लिल्लाहि अहया के बाद वहाँ वहाँ करने में लेकिन फिर अल्लाह का शुक्र है कि हम तो रात में मर चुके थे फिर अल्लाह ने रूह को लौटा दिया तो ये याद नहीं आता तेरी रूह जब मुदत पूरी हो जाए तो रूह मिल जाएगी तो सोते सोते ही रह जाएंगे उसी का नाम मौत है तो सुन्नत के मुताबिक अलहम शरीफ पढ़ना अलहमदिल्ला अलहमदिल्ला पढ़ना अगर ऐसे पढ़ रहे हैं तो अल्लाह का शुक्र करेंगे सुन्नत के मुताबिक हम उठ रहे हैं सैयद असरत हुसैन साहब मोहद्दिस साहब दे दारू के मदरिस थे उन्होंने अपने किताब में लिखा है कि सुन्नत तरीका क्या है जब आप खुले तो अलहमदिल्ला अलहमदिल्ला तीन दफा तो ऐसा पढ़ा आज सुबह में उठा तो पढ़े नहीं पढ़े नहीं पढ़े तो आशे के अंदर कि कल पढ़ेंगे सुबह उठेंगे तो और कल में तैयबा तो सभी को याद है और कल में तैयबा एक दफा पढ़ जाए एक दफा इस दुआ को जो हुजूर ने सिखाया अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह लजी अहसानी बात वहाँ मात नहीं मिली
Another great sunnah with which Allah leaves us is that when awakening in the morning, as written by Sayyid Hazrat Hussain, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it is a sunnah that one awakes and recites Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah thrice. If we are not putting to practice the sunnah, then let us do it with the intention that death is a, or sleep is a minor form of death. We are saying Alhamdulillah, Allah has returned my ruh to me. So we say Alhamdulillah, commence our day with the praises of Allah Ta'ala three times. There can be no better beginning to the day than that. Secondly, thereafter, when awakening after saying Alhamdulillah thrice, we read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah a kalima tayyiba. And a third sunnah on awakening is to read the masnoon dua Alhamdulillah illadhi ahyani ba'd ma amatani wa ilayhi nushur. Where we say all praises be to Allah Ta'ala who has given me life after the minor form of death in the form of sleep. And ultimately we shall all be raised on the day of Qiyamah unto Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sleep is a minor form of death. The day of death is decreed. One will continuously sleep and sleep and sleep. And the ruh will not return for one to awake. So we can try and put to practice these three sunnahs on awakening. Alhamdulillah thrice, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and the dua Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'da ma amatani wa ilayhi nushur.
एक सहाबी थे गवर्नर रूम के दौरे पर गए खाना खा रहे थे एक एक गोटी गिर गई धोखे फिर खा लिया खादिम ने कहा कि कान ने कहा कि बड़े बड़े बुखार बैठे हुए हैं आपको नजरों से गिराते हैं तो उन्होंने कहा कि अहमकों के वजह से अपने हबीब के सुन्नत को छोड़ देंगे ऐसा नहीं होगा चाहे मुर्खिद हो या न हो, साहबा के दर्जा इसलिए बढ़ गया कि आशिक थे साहबा रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के।
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين ونبذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابي who had gone as an ambassador for discussions in the palace of the greatest superpower at the time, the Persian Empire, while eating on the royal table, a piece of meat fell to the ground. He picked it up, cleansed it, and ate it according to the Sunnah and the teaching of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of his companions nudged him and said to him that this may degrade us. This may degrade us in the eyes of the Persian rulers, thinking us to be lowly people. And then he gave an amazing reply: should I forsake the sunnah of my beloved for these foolish people who have no kind of hidayah and guidance? That is why the Sahaba ascended to the heights and the positions that they have reached, because they were sincere lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
آج ہمارے ملانے سے ماننا نکل رہا ہے، نہ باپ کو مان رہے ہیں، ماں کے مان رہے ہیں، نہ استاد کو مان رہے ہیں، نہ پیر کے مان رہے ہیں، مان رہے ہیں نفس کا، جو سب سے بڑا دشمن ہے. یا اللہ، نفس و شیطان کے مکر و فریب سے ہم سب کے پاس، یا اللہ ہم سب کو اپنے اپنے وقت پر کامل ایمان کو خاتا نصیب کر. ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنہ وفی الآخرۃ حسنہ وقینا عذاب النار صلی اللہ تعالیٰ
محمد الله عليه وسلم.